This is People in the Know, a weekday forum for in-depth coverage of the news shaping China, the world, and your life. Now here's your host, Zheng Chengwang.
China's Singles' Day shopping spree on November the 11th might remind some of Black Friday in the U.S., but the real Black Friday is no longer so far away from consumers in China. On November the 28th and 29th, 2014, people who did shopping on Amazon China enjoyed simultaneous discounts as those on Amazon USA. The two-day transaction volume on the website was 13 times more than the same two-day period a month earlier. Other e-commerce platforms in China have also embraced the 2014 Black Friday with the same enthusiasm, but different strategies. The last few years have gone hand-in-hand with a growing number of Chinese consumers who buy goods from overseas online stores. Statistics from China's Ministry of Commerce state that in 2013, Chinese consumers spent more than $33 billion in doing so. This number is estimated to grow five times more by the year 2018. So when Chinese consumers start to buy directly from overseas online shops, how can everything be regulated? What changes is cross-border e-commerce bringing to the behavior of Chinese consumers? 你好, you are listening to People in the Know, presenting you with insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Zheng Chengguan in Beijing. First, PIK Stinghun catches up with Andreas Wiegand, former chief scientist at Amazon.com.
All right, Andreas, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Though a growing number of people are starting doing it, cross-border e-commerce is still a relatively new phenomenon. First of all, tell us, when e-commerce go cross-borders, how it might be different from the traditional model?
All right. 10 years ago, Jack Ma and I had a debate at a university in Shanghai on the future of e-commerce. And just as I was in Shanghai last month, I was looking through my notes of that conversation, and trying to figure out what we got right and what we missed. What we certainly got right was the data piece. The fact that data really is the new oil, if you will, is the material which needs to be refined to help people make better decisions, whether that's in search at Baidu, or whether that's at e-commerce at, say, Taobao, Alibaba, or in other ways in telecommunication at Tencent. So the interesting thing was, what were the things we missed in that debate? The most obvious one was mobile. That in the entire hour and a half, not a single time 10 years ago, did we talk about mobile commerce. And when you think back, it's not surprising. There was no iPhone 10 years ago. So if you think how much can change within a decade in something which was quite established at the time, you get very careful in making predictions. The other thing which we totally missed was that of transborder commerce. Yes, of course, we knew how it was possible in principle to use existing couriers like EMS. And I had talked to companies whose job was to translate websites in other countries and make it easy for Chinese customers to buy from these websites. But it really wasn't anything which was in our mind. Now, of course, with issues on the quality of goods, or think baby formula, or whether you get fakes, there's a lot of interest in China to buy things from abroad. And equally well, there's a lot of interest here for us in the United States to buy things directly from China. So I view that as a very important area, which will be as important next few years as mobile has been and has become in the last decade.
Okay, as you have talked about, you sort of spent quite a long time each year living here in China. Tell us, what are the behaviors of consumers in China when they buy products from overseas through the internet, and what does the future look like?
So I remember a conference called Digital China in Shanghai maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I had the honor of speaking at that conference. At the end of my talk, the country manager of LV, Louis Vuitton, raised his hand and said, "Monsieur, you are not telling us to put our prices up on the internet." And I told him, "Don't worry about it. They are there already." So I think with 500 million of smartphone users and with internet finance having grown that quickly in the last couple of years in China, I think it's actually one of the hottest topics. Transporter commerce into China is becoming a reality very, very soon. You asked about the specifics of consumer behavior when it comes to Chinese people buying goods from elsewhere. I actually haven't looked at specific data on that. What I do know is that, of course, the worry about food safety and the worry about buying fake goods is what drives behavior in looking abroad for the sourcing.
Your former employer, Amazon, in 2014, Amazon embarked on the a partial direct mail service for consumers in China. But still, I would say the categories of products being covered is limited. They're mainly on clothing, shoes, makeups, and baby care products. Books are not included. Going forward, would you say more categories should be included? And what is the precondition for more categories of products to be included?
Amazon is very good in understanding consumer needs. So it's obvious that things you put in your mouth or things that you put on your skin, things that are that close to you, are amongst the first categories that Amazon would be selling in China. For books, it's, as you know, a different ballgame. The question there also is, to what degree do fake copies or copies you can buy locally, shall we say, actually make it unnecessary to buy official copies that would be shipped from elsewhere to China? So I'm right now writing a book on big data. And I've learned from a friend of mine who authored a book on big data 2 years ago that the copy in China was out before the copy actually was published in the United States. The Chinese translation was there before the English original had appeared. Even with a foreword of a smart guy, a professor in Chengdu, who actually said, "Well, it's a pretty good book. There are a couple of things I disagree with. But here is my translation of the book anyways." So it was fascinating that he had no choice but saying, "All right, I guess this is our official translation of the book into Chinese." So the fact that actually led to the innovation of business models in the gaming industry, namely that you can't really charge for the software or for the game, but you had to invent other things what to charge for example, for access or for special items which you can use in the game. The whole of YY.com being a good example. That business model innovation, I think, is what ultimately will lead us to new ways of selling texts, of selling books, but different from the traditional which we have in the West, that you buy a copy or maybe a copy for your Kindle that gets delivered.
When we talk about cross-border e-commerce, the delivery is really a very important step. And basically, I think the cross-border delivery is known to be expensive. Some people say that to really reduce the cost of the delivery, e-commerce companies need to develop their own logistics service. Would you share the same kind of view?
So I live in San Francisco, and in San Francisco, we see Amazon Fresh trucks all the time. I always joke that Jeff Bezos is cooking me breakfast because I have my groceries delivered in the morning before I even get up to my doorstep. So I have the freshest ingredients for breakfast. And of course, all the companies are competing. Google has a service which does the same, Google Express, and Uber, the taxi company which I use all the time when I'm in Shanghai, also now delivers groceries, and there is a big battle for the last mile in the United States. As a computer scientist, I like to analyze the problem. I like to understand, where are those delays that you're talking about? Where do they stem from? And there are some which an international shipping company could address, and there are others which are government issues. For instance, how do you deal with inspecting items for what tax needs to be levied? So in this generality, I think it is a very complex problem. And what I would like to look at is, where are the delays occurring? And it is easily possible that some of the delays can be solved not with technology, but with people. Other problems might be able to be solved with technology. One of the e-commerce companies in China actually allows you to track where, even if you get something delivered on bicycle, where that bicycle is right now. So I personally love the transparency that is being introduced, that you know exactly how long will that bicycle take until it arrives at your doorstep.
In 2014, I think Amazon China benefited a lot from cross-border e-commerce, especially during the late November's Black Friday, when the platform offered consumers here in China a sort of simultaneous discount as that of the Amazon USA. Would you say that the cross-border e-commerce will bring a kind of reshuffle to the landscape of the overall e-commerce here in China?
Good question. Is it in many cases that it is the price of an item which might have been marked up unreasonably high by local retailers in China? Or is it concerns about the quality of the item that might shadow the price question? Is it maybe the convenience? I don't know how international returns would work from a customs perspective. So when we look at consumer behavior, we easily start looking at those numbers which are the most obvious ones, like the price of an item. But when you are more experienced, then you learn to analyze the click behavior of computer. You learn to look into their minds, into understanding how they make decisions in a way that was impossible before. And now the interesting thing is, not only do retailers look into the decision processes of customers differently, but people also make their decisions in different ways. There might be sites that automatically translate what you can find on other sites. For example, I admire WeChat or Tencent for its ability to just, with the push of a button, take the Chinese somebody writes for me and translate into English. Think how that enables cross-border e-commerce. That people who don't have a language in common now can start negotiating features, understanding what the product really is, whether that's the right product for them. So I don't want people to just be focused on the financial aspect. Let's be focused on the people aspect, that across cultures now, people can talk without sharing a language.
All right, that was Andres Weigand, the former chief scientist at Amazon.com. Andres, thanks very much for your time and comments today.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back right after this.
What's happening in China?
What's happening in China?
What's happening in the world?
What's happening in the world?
People in the know. The in-depth current affairs show with insights on the news that shapes China and the world. People in the know helps you to know the world better.
Nihao, you are listening to People in the Know, presenting you with insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Chen Chengguan in Beijing. Today we are looking at how e-commerce is bringing foreign products to China. Now we are joined by Chu Jing-Hong, Associate Professor at the National University of Singapore Business School.
All right, Professor Chu, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
In 2013, around 80 million Chinese consumers bought products from abroad through the internet. In total, they spent $33 billion, and this number is likely to reach $160 billion 3 years later. What is your instant reaction on hearing these numbers?
I would say, wow. All these numbers mean good news for Chinese consumers. That means Chinese consumers have more choices, have better options, very likely better quality at cheaper prices. All this will enhance consumer welfare. I would say it's definitely good news for Chinese consumers. On the other hand, although 80 million Chinese consumers and $33 billion US dollars, they look like very large numbers if we look at them alone. Mm. However, if you compare this number with the online shoppers in China, with the online transaction volume in China, these are just small numbers. They just take up less than 10% or sometimes 1% or 5%. Yes, they're large numbers, but compared to much larger numbers, they're just small numbers.
Mm. As you have said, cross-border e-commerce is still at the very early stage of its development. At least a few years ago, it is still a not very pleasant experience for consumers in China because the whole process could be, you know, very demanding and complicated. Like, at the basic level, they need to understand a foreign language. They need to have a credit card that supports the payment in foreign currency. And they need to find a logistics company by themselves. Do these problems still exist today?
I think all these problems have been resolved to a large extent. I agree with the economic theory that if there's demand, there will be supply. When the market is getting more competitive, firms like retailers will find ways to make transactions online much easier, even for people in other countries. For example, you just mentioned the English language. I know many Chinese do not speak English. However, they can still shop in China from overseas websites because these websites like Amazon China has Chinese website. In terms of online payment, in addition to credit card, which I think the credit card is now very popular among Chinese consumers, right? Then we have many other payment methods like PayPal, like Alipay. You can even use debit card, right? Sometimes you can even use cash on delivery. All these can help resolve these transaction issues. A third one is the logistic companies. I think nowadays it is much, much better. Actually, this industry is very competitive. Logistic companies try to compete for business.
You said these logistics companies are very competitive. However, yeah. I would say the delivery service itself could be very expensive because they are undertaken by the third-party companies and also very time-consuming. At least traditionally, they're so. But last year, Amazon sort of started a direct mail service for consumers here in China. I mean, this will definitely make the delivery match much faster. But can this model make things better in terms of affordability?
For example, Amazon, if it's shipped from the U.S. to China, it's long distance. If you want fast delivery, you have to pay. That's a common knowledge. However, whether it's, if it's delivered by Amazon or by some other logistics company, which one's faster, which one's better, it's hard to say. Actually, according to research, consumers are three times more sensitive to delivery cost and to the cost of the goods. So if they can find some way to reduce the shipping cost, that will definitely boost the demand. However, somebody has to bear the cost of shipping. If consumers do not bear it, the firm will have to sacrifice their margin. And they may ask you to buy more, like within the States, if you buy more from Amazon, you can get a free shipping. However, they have a minimal quantity you have to buy. Given the long distance, it's very hard to reduce the shipping cost unless Amazon China first ships in volume all the products to China. Then they can ship from China to Chinese consumers. That means they have warehouse inside China. That's the only, I can think of, the only way to reduce shipping cost. Also to make shipping or delivery much faster.
And the cross-border delivery might be quite expensive in the eyes of many people, but overall, I would say cross-border e-commerce sometimes still saves Chinese consumers a lot of money. I mean, as compared to buying the same products that were imported through the traditional channels. Will there be a day when the traditional retailers of foreign brands here in China's domestic market completely lose their competitiveness?
Actually, a similar question was asked around the year 2000 during the e-commerce boom. At that time, people were wondering whether e-commerce would replace traditional retailers. It turned out it was not the case. Yes, if you buy from the internet, it's cheaper. However, there are many things that cannot be contracted through internet purchase. So you still rely on the seller's reputation. Secondly, some products are not suitable for online shopping. For example, products that involve lots of post-sale service. You still need a physical store. On some products, you need to do the physical examination before you can make a purchase. So all these factors will factor in when consumers make the purchase decision. For cross-border e-commerce, another factor is the shipping cost. As I said, if you ship, say, a refrigerator from the U.S. to China, the shipping cost can be huge. It's not possible, but for some lighter, small items, maybe it's possible. But suppose the jewelry, even the small, is a high-value item. Consumers might want to do the, you know, verification, do some like personal examination before they make the purchase. I would say it will have some competition for traditional sellers. However, it cannot completely replace the traditional retailers or exporters.
For many Chinese consumers resorting to cross-border e-commerce, they're looking for products that are more reliable. However, I think there have also been cases when some of them ended up buying fake or low-quality products. So in these cases, who is to blame?
It's not so clear-cut whom to blame. I would suggest consumers, if they want to do the cross-border e-commerce, they buy online overseas, they buy from B2C, like Amazon, not from C2C, like eBay. Because for B2C, the retailer's own reputation factors in. If something goes wrong, you can go direct to a retailer like Amazon. Amazon will show, you know, show some responsibility. If you buy from smaller seller like eBay, it can be very hasslesome, I would say, to find out who should blame.
I think whatever the motives of consumers, ultimately they want to buy foreign brands or products that are manufactured in foreign countries. But in reality, I think it is also possible for a Chinese business to get registered overseas and then sell their products to their Chinese compatriots under a foreign cover. Can this be a problem?
This can be a problem, I would say. First of all, let me think about why Chinese consumers want to buy foreign brands. Because to many Chinese consumers, foreign brands mean high quality, high status, high price, and high service, right? And if all these, you know, Chinese brand and the foreign cover, if they can't have the same delivery, it's okay. But I suspect that once they have this foreign cover, they can't have delivery of high quality, high status, and high service. If they fail in these dimensions, over time, Chinese consumer may stop buying in cross-border e-commerce because the quality of product is not guaranteed, the service is not guaranteed, the authenticity of the product is not guaranteed. I don't think we should encourage this one.
That was Chu Chun Hong, associate professor at the National University of Singapore Business School. All right, Professor Chu, thanks very much for your time and comments today.
Thank you, my pleasure.
When shopping from overseas online stores becomes a popular channel for Chinese consumers to get access to foreign products, regulations need to be in place to protect and regulate these transactions. Questions or comments for us can be sent to pik@cri.com.cn. I'm Tintin Guan, and on behalf of program reporters Chen Xiaming, Nathan Wakeling King, and Ding Hem, thanks for listening and make sure to tune in at the same time next Monday.